take it further than I could. Our conversation began with direction and momentum. We discussed your trickles, your pours, your journeys through water and through landscapes. As it went, it started to meander its way, enfolding our lives and families and books and films in on it too. It soon turned on conversation itself. We talked about conversations that we'd both had with others, the rarely equal give and take of them, the way they wind and leak, the way their rhythms alternate between whirling and stagnating, between a faltering trail and a pooling mass of energy that at some point will be released in a gush, forging a series of new trajectories. You told me that for you it is by talking, perhaps saying the wrong thing, seeking clarification, joking with someone that you get to know a person. This, you said, is how things build. And by this, you did not mean things are constructed. I don't think you meant this. I think you meant make stronger or more intense. But maybe it's about how things suggest themselves to you, to me, how they emerge in conversation or by thinking aloud, alone. That's one way for words to travel, pass through air, mouthed and expelled. Another is across screens and through the flow of ink on a page. Put like this, described in terms of flow, it gives the impression, quite wrongly of course, that their passage is even and easy. It usually isn't. Conversation can be difficult. In fact, even with people I've known for years, words percolate but slowly in me. Often the right word, or at least the word I'm looking for, that I can sense only in silhouette or texture, eludes me. All of what I'll have said up to this moment, and what I'd like to say in the next, pools, entrapped by an invisible skin, call it surface tension. It doesn't get as far as the tip of my tongue. Meanwhile, other thoughts mount, and I find myself caught in an eddy, still grappling in the dark and with growing urgency for that word, that perfect crystalline word. If caught for too long, dizzied from turning around the same wrong word in my head, the pressure builds. Hurling out that wrong word offers a means of escape. It'll do. But once uttered, the space between you and me fills with a self-conscious billowing. And my sentence, which is no longer my sentence, never was my sentence, dissipates in wafting plumes of unfinished thought. Tailing off, the momentum of words undone, I'll hope that perhaps you can fill in the silence of my ellipsis for me. Take it further than I could. The week before we first met, I'd started a conversation with someone else. I didn't know this someone very well, at all really. We'd met only briefly some months before. I was, I later told her, trying to wedge our meeting into too small a gap between teaching and school pickup, but our conversation ran on and on. 2.5 hours later, there we still were, turning over words authority. As it turned out, we shared an inclination to undermine all that, enjoying instead the effects of words airing and dissipation in space. As it turned out, the impulse, at once self-protective and destructive, to undo whilst doing was, for us both, irresistible. As we said our goodbyes, I remarked on the all-but-emptied cafe and the flagging light outside, laughing at my failed attempt to squeeze in the conversation. The response of this someone else struck me. Conversations never squeeze, do they? They ooze. They slither down your sleeves and leave sticky marks all over your fingers. She was right. We don't have conversations. They have us.